Everyone in the tech field wants to do three things: relax, automate, and get paid. There's no other tool out there that can make that more possible than D7. Go over to foolishit.com. Don't forget to use the promo code PodNutsShow20 to save an extra 20%. PodNuts would like to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support. Hello, everybody. Welcome to PodNuts Daily. My name is Door-to-Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. First and foremost, I have to personally apologize for the delay in having more PodNuts Daily. We are trying to find more guests. I feel like guests is what is needed to make this show better. My limited computer repair experience, I do not think, would actually benefit people. But I will say, if people start sending me in text reviews, news, info, new applications, experiences with applications, I have no problem with taking them and turning that content into episodes, full episodes. So if you want more PodNuts Daily, you can easily give back. You don't have to come on the show to make the show better. Now, with that, we did have somebody who did step up. And his name is Chris, and he's from maybe, I don't want to say the best, definitely one of the better named computer shops, and that is For the Win Computers and Electronics. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? How's everything?
Doing pretty good. I know you say you don't have a brick and mortar, but as far as I'm concerned, it's still a shop because people bring you stuff to get stuff fixed, so that's how I classify a shop. How's everything going?
It's going really busy, really busy. I have a lot of things going on in the personal life going on right now. Just started back on going back to school while trying to maintain my clientele base. It's being a little difficult right now, but definitely busy.
Busy is generally in my world a very good thing. I like being more busy than less busy, but that's the kind of busy where I think you really need organization or else things could get out of hand.
Oh, yes, absolutely. If you don't have any organization, you'll end up, losing your
like
clients
me.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, super quick, can I ask about how long have you been in or around computers?
Oh, shoot. Well, I'm in my mid-30s now. I'd say since I was 8. I think our first computer was a Commodore 64/128.
Oh, wow. You're going back now.
Yeah. With a tape drive. Well, cassette drive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it's just off the wall. Did you at any point in time say to yourself, during the last, 20 years, 20 plus years, wow, technology's moving pretty fast? Or did you just look forward to the next great thing and just keep moving forward?
No, actually, we got our first computer. We actually had to stick with it for a while. I mean, I didn't come from a wealthy family, so we didn't get to upgrade very often. So I stuck with the Commodore. Shoot, that was probably a good at least 5 years. And then we had a 286 for another probably 5 years or so. And I was just happy with what we had. I mean, typing in all these funny characters and getting a computer to do whatever you wanted it to do, Spend 2 hours with a 1-inch thick book in front of you typing in all these hieroglyphics, and then you get this little snake that moves around the screen. It was amazing.
Uh-huh. Enter what? I mean, you had to make your own fun.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And I'll say one of the things I do remember back then that blew my mind, and I still don't know what it's called, but if you hold down Alt and type in a couple numbers and let go of the Alt, on some things you'll create special characters.
Right. Yeah.
I don't even know.
The ASCII symbols.
Oh, ASCII symbols. Okay. Because I remember as a youngster creating directories with those names thinking I was fancy. thinking, I'm elite. I'm hacker now.
Oh, well, you'd also include those in your BBS screen names back before we had web pages. You try to look like a hacker.
Yeah, speaking of BBSs, I've been trying to find, to save my life, a VM appliance of a BBS, because I want to set one up in my house and just connect to it just to say, hey, look, I got a BBS running.
I saw somewhere where you can get, I don't know if it's web hosted or what, but I could have sworn I saw somewhere where you can download the old BBSs and then just rehost them yourself. I can't remember where I saw it though. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
And it's, I don't know, nostalgia, personal geek cred. I don't know what, but I just want to do it really, really bad.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you said 286s. Wow, man, that was before the days of spyware. That was when the only time you got an infection was when someone passed around a dirty floppy disk,
a five and a half inch one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those days, dare I say, we were very innocent. We really didn't know where this whole computer thing was going. And then today, I get a phone call from a friend, a good friend, who said, "Hey, Steve, I need you to look at my computer." Okay, what's going on? Well, hackers are all in my computer, and they're hosting all kinds of stuff. I said, "Well, that sounds normal for your computer, so why do you need me to clean it?" "Well, you see, I got this email from AOL, and they said I had to get it cleaned or else they'd kick me off." "That sounds weird. Okay. So did you call up AOL?" "Well, I called the number in the email." "Oh, no." "Yeah, yeah, yeah. And see, they told me I had to either go to Office Staples." There's no Office Staples. What the hell are you talking about? He said, "Hey, well, you know, they said I have to go to Office Staples, so I guess they meant Office Depot or Staples. But that could take 30 days. So they told me I had to go to this cleanmypc.com. I had to get it fixed right away. And they kept asking me for my credit card number, social security number, but I told them they just need to fix it for free. So I went to this website, they got on my computer, and they were fixing it, but I don't think they did it right." I'm like, "Oh my God. That was the scam." So it has evolved into such a new game of playing things. And if you were back in the Commodore 64 days, you have literally watched it evolve.
Oh, yeah.
And change.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So here's my question. When did you go from using a computer, reading stuff out of a book and typing it back in, and thinking you could actually fix stuff and, let's say, work on hardware and get things up and running?
Probably either the 286 or the 486. Like I said, we're not growing up wealthy. We didn't have too much money to spend on tech support. I was a kid. I mean, I would break stuff constantly, and there was nobody I could call and say, "Hey, how do you fix this?" I mean, I just opened the guts up and started, you know, pulling stuff out, putting stuff back in, and just trying stuff out and seeing what happens, you know, and troubleshooting by myself. So, I mean, I was probably between 12 and 13, maybe 14, starting to learn what the actual hardware does without any, you know, technical trainings, I guess you could say.
Yeah, trust me when I say I absolutely understand that, because we had one computer. I swear we had it for like 8 years, an HP multimedia computer, first multimedia computers that existed. And we couldn't pay to get anything fixed.
It was so expensive. Computer,
oh, yeah. So when the computer broke, I remember one point in time, it just sat there for a month until I finally said, "I can't do it." And I just literally just started doing stuff. And I don't even know what was wrong with it now. I don't know what I did to fix it or anything, but I know I fixed it. And I felt so dang good about myself.
Yeah.
You know, nerd with really Coke bottle glasses, you know, quarter inch thick, walking around with my chest puffed out like I was a man or something. But that was the incarnation of me learning it's just a computer. It's just code. It's just a registry. It's, you know, you can get into all of this. You can change it all. You can break anything. And if you're smart enough, you can find out how to fix it too.
Yep. And then, we didn't have Google back then to just type in what your problem was and have some website spit out exactly what you were supposed to do. I mean, we had, what was it? I think it was PC Shopper or PC Repair, that real big, thick magazine that would come out like every month.
Yes.
And it would have a lot of articles in it and then tons of hardware for sale. I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah, there was a couple of them. There was Win Something, where they had Windows Tricks.
Yeah.
And I just remember going to the store, open up the magazine, flipping to the back, and reading the tips every month, seeing if I already knew it or if I didn't know it. And I don't Yeah, I don't remember ever being able to find anything of any merit to fixing a computer online for a long time.
Oh yeah, it was I'd say probably early 90s, maybe mid 90s, to where it actually started becoming mainstream for people to actually start fixing things themselves instead of having to go to people like us who just knew how to do it.
Right. Yeah, I was watching a old television show Computer Chronicles with Stuart Chaffee reviewing Windows 95, 98 and talking about Linux and looking at what ESPN.com looked like back then and the Microsoft knowledge base looked like back then. No wonder we couldn't find anything. The site sucked.
Yeah.
You know, they were horrid. And then slowly I remember after Google came around, there were these little wells of information popping up where just people would just fix computers and just document everything. Everything they did. So whenever you read something, you weren't sure if this fixed it or this is what I tried to do to fix it. So yeah, there was definitely a huge, huge learning curve. So now let's jump to today. You started For the Win, Computers and Electronics, which, touche, good name. And that is at ftwce.com.
Yep.
Okay, now I know it's not your 9-to-5 job, but my question is, how much activity does For the Win get you?
At least one machine every day. I mean,
wow.
I would say probably 70% of my daily jobs come from my 9-to-5 job.
Aha, gotcha. Yeah. So can I ask, like, what are some of the recent things that you've had to work on?
Oh, it's always the typical spyware, FBI virus. My computer can't get onto the internet, or my keyboard's broken, or I dropped my iPhone. It's a lot of iDevices are being dropped, apparently, and just it's pretty simple stuff, basically.
Huh. Okay, well, do you fix the portable devices?
Yep. Anything from the Android devices, the iDevices, iPads, Android tablets, pretty much whatever.
Very cool. I don't want to say it's a fact, but I believe if you don't open up to fixing portable devices, the amount of jobs you're going to be able to get is going to get smaller and smaller. And it's not because computers are getting more secure or infections are becoming less, but I think more people are more likely to say to themselves, this laptop is really infected. I don't really need it anymore. I'll just use my iPad or I'll just use my Android tablet.
Oh, yeah. And then you figure the average laptop is a couple pounds. I mean, you figure it's 2 pounds with the battery and all, and it's 15-something inches or so. I mean, I could do the same exact stuff on my 10-inch tablet or my 7-inch tablet that I can do with my laptop. I mean, and not to mention bring it with me in the car or just plug it into a cigarette lighter or a wall socket, simply enough. And people are just, they're not relying on their laptops as much as they used to anymore. So they just kind of get pushed aside and then they collect dust. And if you don't adapt to be able to service that kind of hardware, you're going to get left behind.
Gotcha. Well, can you give anyone a tip on either devices, A, they shouldn't touch, or it's really easy devices, or types of fixes that you think are easier?
Well, the iPhones, the iPods, and the iPads tend to be the cheapest to fix and the easiest to fix. Android stuff tends to be a little more expensive, and it's harder to get parts for because there's, well, you figure 200 different Android phones out there right now, and there's, what, 4 Apple phones?
Right.
So, I mean, if you're going to start out with just like the iPhone 4 or 4S. They're real easy to fix. The iPod touches are real easy to fix. Get yourself a good micro tool set and take your time. There's tons of videos out there. There's iFixit.com is a good website to go to that has tons of tutorials. I mean, that's where my tool set came from.
Nice.
And that's what I use. That's all I use for fixing mobile devices because everything's in there. All the bits, all the scrapers, all the everything.
Gotcha. Yeah, I had Liam Tidwell from Liam Tech insist to me basically the exact same thing, how the iDevices, because there's so few of them, the parts are much cheaper. He said, but what I would honestly suggest is going on to eBay or someplace and buying half broke or broke iDevices just so you can practice opening it up, seeing how it's all put, and then put it back together, taking it apart, putting it together, just to get that part down. He said after doing that, he said literally for a couple weeks, he would just get other devices and just open them up, try to put a different screen on or something, and then put it back together. He said because of that prepping he gave himself, he was able to, what he thinks, like triple the amount of work he could do on those devices because he had so much practice with them. And he said, iDevices, he said, I don't care, like something like if they get down to 30% or whatever, they're still everywhere. Everywhere I go, I see at least a couple of them, and there's always one that's broke. Yep. He said, so I've been able to literally focus in on that as a major part of my business. Sure, I install printers, I clean viruses, I fix screens on laptops. He said, that's almost now a side business. Because the need, the demand to fix these mobile devices is so great. And he did say the same thing. He said, him and Tim Bauermeister both kind of suggested to me, if you're going to do an Android device, if it's a $80 screen, he said, you have to charge them at minimum $180. He said, because you really need to buy two of those screens when you go buy one. He said, because the first time you're going to break it.
I've done that. It's actually happened to me, and I got burned because I didn't buy more than one.
And
it was awful. And it was actually an iPad. And typically, when I buy an iPad screen or an iPod screen, I usually like to have the one that I'm putting in and another one on the shelf just in case for the next job to come in, so people don't have to wait as long.
Right.
And a business guy came to my door, actually knocked on my door and said, hey, I saw you on Google. Can you fix this? I said, yeah, sure, no problem. It was a simple iPad screen, iPad 3, and spiderwebbed all over the place. Mm-hmm. So I said, yeah, all right, I have one on the shelf, and should take me maybe a day to fix it overnight. He said, all right. So I take the thing apart. I put it all back. The hardest part is getting all the old glass out, and put the new one in, put all the double stick tape in, and went to put the screen back in. Everything seemed to go together pretty good, and usually I like to put a book on top of it or a couple books on top and let the weight push down on the screen for a couple of hours to let the glue really set in. So I think it was the next morning I got the pad up. And I noticed that the upper right-hand corner wasn't quite sticking inside of the bezel, I guess you could call it.
Hmm.
So I'm squeezing it, I'm squeezing it. Tink!
Ah! Oh.
That much of the corner, what was it, a quarter inch of the corner just snapped right off. Crap. Oh, yeah. Crap. And the guy was, I already told the guy, I said, yeah, you can come pick it up in an hour.
Oh, no!
Yeah. Oh man! Oh, I my jaw just dropped open and I was speechless. I didn't have another part to put in, and I had to call him up, you know, and eat crow and say, I broke it, and it's going to take me at least another 3 days to get one in.
Oh wow!
And let's just say it didn't take 3 days to get it in, because the company, which I'm not going to name, I'm sure the people listening who buy this stuff frequently have bought from this company before. Let's just say they lost it. Well, that's what they claim anyways. And
in shipping like?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Actually, the shipping number actually showed that it never even left their warehouse.
Nice.
But so it was about a week later, and I gave the guy like 70% off of, I think I made like $10 on the whole deal. It was awful.
Yeah, well, To me, that's one of the things about mobile device repair is You are going to have to go to a customer and beg for forgiveness. It just seems like it's going to happen. No matter how carefully you plan and how well you execute, something will always happen like that. The question is, can you mitigate it from happening too often?
Yep.
By, like what you said, having extra parts in your stock. And with the eye devices, to me, it's so much easier because the likelihood of you getting an iPad 3 in versus you getting a Acer Konya tab in, you know, those aren't odds I like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
The iPad, yeah, so with the Android stuff, it's almost like, well, you're going to build up a stock, and then sooner or later, you're just going to have to sell them. Because it turns out you bought an extra screen for this device, and this device hasn't been made now for 18 months, so you might as well just sell them. And I do know there are services where you can take your unused refurbished screens and sell them for at least some money.
Yeah.
So it isn't a complete loss. But it's almost still worth it just to have that backup right there in case something goes wrong. Because like you just said, I mean, it will sooner or later.
It'll bite you.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
what it was, when the guy dropped it, he dropped it face first and it landed on the corner. So it actually bent the aluminum frame backwards.
Gotcha.
So it wasn't, it was more the frame's fault than the glass's fault, but, it was just a simple thing that I overlooked and I was trying to rush and it got me.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I'll say, like, fixing desktop computers, I ask people to not chintz on the software they use. And by that, I don't mean you have to get expensive software, but get software that you trust, software that's been around, software that other people trust. When it comes to mobile, to device repair, I do believe getting a good set of tools, not a great set of tools, but a good set of tools is almost vital. Because these are the things that are going to either speed up your job, slow down your job, make you scratch less of the device, hopefully not scratch it at all, and get it fixed quick.
Yep. I mean, you ask any mechanic who works with his hands for a living, he's gonna have that $80 wrench, you know, that Snap-on wrench, because that's something he can rely on, and it's not going to break on him, and it'll always be there when he needs it.
Exactly. I gotta say hats off to you, man, for working a 9-to-5 job and getting this much activity and you're going back to school. That, wow. Yeah, that's just a lot. And I'll say, to me, the fixing of stuff really isn't the burden. It's the communicating with the people and organizing them and giving them realistic expectations when things are going to be done, which could be the big time sink.
Yep. And I've been telling my clients now, I said, you know, yeah, I'll work on your laptop for you, I'll fix it, but it's probably going to be upwards of 4 days plus. I said, I have a real busy schedule right now, and, you know, there's a lot of things going on, and there's people in front of you. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that was two things I do believe. I don't quote Steve Jobs a lot. He's not stupid. I will first and foremost say that. He always said, under promise, over deliver. There's no problem with telling someone it's going to take 5 or 6 days when you think it might take 4, just to be safe. Because if you get it done quicker, it's just a bonus.
Yeah.
And two, giving yourself realistic goals like that. And then if you want to offer speedy service as an option for that customer, you then have that available to you. But you can't sell everybody on the speedy service or else everyone will be late, you know. So that's really delicate game to play, I'll say. But you will always have a happy customer when if you say 4 to 5 days and you return it in 3 or 4 days. You know, they will always, always be happy. And I will say when it comes to this mobile device repair, I don't know if it was Bauermeister. Somebody told me you never, ever, ever call the customer until you are 100% positive everything is working, because you might start it up and it might appear like everything's working fine and you give it to them and then they call you back 2 hours later saying the mic isn't working right, the speakers aren't working right, or something else. And he's like, you have to literally basically turn it on and test as much as you possibly can. or else it will come back and bite you.
Yep.
He said, you know, on a laptop, what you don't realize is, you know, nobody uses the built-in mic. The webcam, you know, usually ain't going to break when you replace other stuff. When you boot it up, the sound comes out of the speakers. You test the keyboard. So you almost test everything. He said with mobile phones, if you just turn it on and look at the screen and turn it off, you have no idea. So, yeah, I will say it requires a whole different type of checklist versus a computer. But if you have yourself a little bit of organization, I think that checklist will make it much speedier to make sure things are completely done.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't learn on your customer's dollar. Absolutely do not do that. It will catch up to you. And you're going to break something, and it's going to cost you a lot more than it would have if you would have, you know, done it on your own time and like you said earlier, buy something broken off of eBay and mess with it that way.
Yeah, I do remember a guy, I think Carolina, said he wanted to start fixing these kind of things. He said, so what I did, I first, like, had my business name was called ABC Computers. He said, so I put up a Google AdSense for ABD Computers, which wasn't my company name, but I put it up there and I said, I can fix these mobile devices. And he said, for 2 weeks, I got calls for people saying, can you fix this device? Can you fix that device? Can you fix this device? And then he said, and then I took down the Google AdWords and I took everything that everybody says that they wanted to get fixed. Cause he said, no, sorry, I can't fix that. But he then had a list, and he said he went onto eBay and he bought a couple of them. And then when he started doing his actual repair, he felt better. He felt more confident. So you got to do a little bit of investment, it seems like.
I can't say that a customer has come to me and I knew exactly how to fix everything that they've brought to me. I've had people come up to me and say, hey, can you fix this? And I'll be honest with them and say, I've actually never attempted to fix that. If you would let me, I'll fix it for you for free, and all you got to do is pay for the parts. And I've had people do that. My first couple of iDevices were that way. It was an iPod Touch 3rd generation, I think it was. And the guy bought it. The screen was like $13 or something, and I fixed it for him for free, so I got the experience of, you know, learning how to do it right away.
That's a good deal for both of you.
Yeah. I'm learning, and he gets a free replacement.
Right. Very cool. Now, do you have any software that you use to help organize any of this work, or do you basically just go to iFixit, look for this, and then just follow the steps?
For what, the mobile stuff?
Well, to just help, I would say, organizing your workflows of your business.
That big checkered thing behind me is what I use. That and it's basically just it's almost like a whiteboard spreadsheet with a client's number, what they're doing, what they're having fixed, whether the paperwork's been filled out. It's all pretty archaic right now, but I plan on getting either M Help Desk or PC or PCRT, but just haven't gotten around to doing it yet. And the mobile stuff, I mean, if I don't expect everybody to remember the insides and outs of every single mobile device out there. I mean, I either have the iFixit app on my tablet or I have it up on my my PC as I'm running through it just to make sure I don't forget something, because if you pry too hard and a screw's not out, you're going to break something and it's just not worth it.
Right. Yeah, I will say I did have a guy that told me what he did, downloaded the videos from the website just so he had it offline, which I understand doing that, but I don't know if you need to. I mean, I don't think these videos are going anywhere. iFixit, it's a huge site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The iDevices, they're really not much different from each other. I mean, there's a couple screws here, a couple screws there, but they're all basically built the same way. It's just what connectors are where in the 4 versus the 5 or the 4S and the 3. I mean, they're all pretty much the same. It's just slight, subtle differences. once you get into them and you get comfortable working on them, you can pretty much, oh, well, that's the digitizer cable, or that's the rear-facing camera thing. You know, it's really not that bad.
Gotcha. That's a plus in my book. And I'll say you seem to be getting most of your business, at least, from your 9-to-5 job.
Yep.
There's no better way, I still believe, than word of mouth. I mean, if you fix something good at a fair price, people usually tell their friends about it.
Yep.
So I'm sure that's also part of the business. You know, a coworker bringing in their cousin's iDevice or, you know, their brother-in-law's iDevice to get fixed, too.
The only advertising I've ever paid for is I bought a skin for the back of the back windshield of my car, which was, I think it was $130. I did the graphics myself and then sent away to have it printed up, and I installed it myself. And then I bought, I think, 500 business cards, I think it was. And other than that, it's word of mouth, and that's keeping me busy enough, you know.
Very cool. Now, do you ever think this is going to grow into a thing where you can quit doing your 9-to-5 job, or do you really like your 9-to-5 job and you really want to keep doing it?
Well, it's hard to say, really. I mean, I really do like my 9-to-5 job. I like the security. I mean, I work for a really large company, and I like the benefits are really good. The place I work at is a really good place to work for. I mean, I like having the security of the weekly paycheck, you know, from day to day to day. And then all I got to do is show up and do my job. I mean, if I were to take this full time, I mean, I don't think I'm ready for that yet.
It is a big jump. And I will say, trust me when I say, man, I understand job security. If there is so much comfort in knowing I have to wake up every day, go here, do what they tell me to do, try to have a little bit of fun too while I'm doing it. But then I get rewarded with a paycheck. And, you know, it's actually technically hard to get fired as long as you keep doing your job. That's the kind of security it is so uncommonly hard to just step away from. I do believe being your own boss is the only way to really be truly successful, but it's not secure. There's no security in it whatsoever. It's
right.
All gambling and risk-taking. And I will say the most successful people either do one of two things. They completely just go out on a limb and do it all at once. Typically, they're single, younger folk. They're not, you know, even up to like 26 or 28. They're typically in their young 20s. Or they take it very slow and very gradual and just get to a point where they say, I'm having a lot of fun with this side business. I can see it growing much more than it is. And then they do it. But it's really a very slow, gradual process. So I understand the job security thing. I sometimes say I wish I got fired because then I wouldn't have to make a choice. They would make it for me. But in actuality, no. I really like, you know, getting my direct deposited money. Such a good feeling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Very cool. Now, you also say washing machines, dryers, microwave ovens, TVs, and audio equipment. Okay. Dare I say, I actually see the leap, the physical leap from fixing a computer, removing malware, removing viruses, to changing screens, replacing hard drives, replacing processor, then going over to mobile devices, screen replacement, iPhone battery replacements and button replacement fixes, and then transitioning to appliances. Something tells me they're actually easier to work on than mobile phones just because there's more space in them.
Yeah, definitely. And the parts are so much bigger, you don't have to worry about big sausage fingers breaking them.
Trust me, I also understand the sausage fingers thing. Yes. Yeah, because my washing machine now, my knob, I have to literally like jam it in, full force it to turn it. So I just took it apart earlier today, looking at the part that was needed. And it was like, if I lose a part, I'm going to have to like lose an eyeball too, because they're so big.
Yeah. And they're so easy to get a hold of. I mean, that knob's probably what, maybe $7, $8 for the knob, and then maybe another $12 for the board behind it.
Exactly. Yep. It's under $20 for the whole thing, and it's just a couple screws. Yep. There's nothing complex about it. It's just doing it. And I will say, just like we have our repos online of software sources where we go to, mobile devices, there's certain places you go to get parts. Exact same thing for these things. We found a shop 20 minutes away. We'll sell you anything for any appliance that they can get their hands on, whether it's a handle to a fridge, light bulbs for ovens, dishwasher trays, anything. If he can find it, he will sell it to you. So it seems like it always comes down to not being a super genius, but just knowing where to go to get what you need.
Yep. Yep. And all you need is a model number. I mean, I have a couple problems with my washing machine at home. My wife said it's leaking. So I said, text me a picture of the serial number or the model number, type it into Google. And there's like 17 websites that stock washing machine parts. And there's schematics right there on the screen. You just, I need a number 8, a number 7, and a number 15. And then you scroll down the list, $7, $12, and $25. Ship it to me in 3 days.
Nice.
It's just a matter of getting around to doing it, because personal stuff comes after client stuff.
Oh, trust me, I know. Mechanics have the worst running cars.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because they're too busy fixing everybody else's. That's really cool, because honestly, I personally feel the more broad of a business that you have, dare I say, the more fun it is, because you don't really know what's going to come in next. If all you do is clean off Windows computers, then you know. FBI virus, ransomware, you know, Adware, Spiderware, Rootkit, and then do the whole cycle again. Oh, FBIware. It's just nonstop. It's the same exact thing over and over and over.
Yeah, it gets monotonous.
At least you have diversity.
Yeah. I try. I don't like turning people away. I mean, if it's like my motto is, if it has a plug, I'll try to fix it. And I'm not gonna rip people off, but I mean, people are losing their jobs, and you know, times are tight right now, and people can't afford to go out and drop $2,000 on a new refrigerator or $700 for a new washing machine when it's only $50 worth of parts, you know? I mean, people appreciate that more.
Oh, absolutely. And I will say, this is the kind of business in this time can thrive.
Yes.
Because just like you said, not everybody has disposable income to where they can just willy-nilly buy stuff and create more debt. They have to try to make what they have last.
Yep.
Hence, I'm trying to fix the dryer. Wish me luck, Chris.
Nah, you'll do good. It's all. You'd be surprised how much empty space is in that thing. Besides where you put your clothes.
Right, exactly. That shocked me, and it did shock me how easy I was able to find a manual online. With laptops, it seems like you got to use Voodoo, and you have to like sacrifice a goat to find a good manual. Washing machine, I just typed in a model number, and it was like the second link down. I didn't even have to type the word manual.
And you get exploded pictures of it to where how everything fits all together with the screws and how everything fits in. And it's not just a picture of a laptop with a list of parts from 1 to 1,000, you know?
Exactly. That's very cool. So, dare I ask, what is the funnest thing for you to work on? What's the thing that comes through your doorway that you think, oh yeah, and you just like take your hands and you rub them together because you just want to get into it?
Like you said, I like having the vastness of different things that come through my door. I mean, I don't typically have appliances come through my door. I go out to people's houses and fix them, but I like going out and meeting new people and, you know, fixing their problems. And the appliances tend to be a little easier to work on, like you said, and they're not as mundane as pulling off viruses because their kid can't stay off a BearShare or LimeWire.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and dare I say, I'm a guy where I work, at least now, I have the opportunity to see things start and complete, like actually finalize things. with virus cleaning, I always felt like I have it at a good place and then I give it back to them. But it never felt done because I knew they were going to get reinfected. You know what I mean? So to me, it was never done. Fixing physical devices, you know. You put that last screw in, you plug it in, you turn it on, you know it's fixed. That's completion. That's the kind of thing that I now have at my job. I have the availability to do at least sometimes. And it really, I just love the feeling. I love the feeling of standing up from my desk at the end of the day and knowing I completed things. I didn't just move things forward, but I actually completed something.
Right. Yeah. Right. Good sense of accomplishment for what you do.
Yeah. And see, I'm a sucker for that. I much rather feel like I completed things than having, you know, somebody telling me I do a great job or whatever. As long as I feel like I'm doing good, then I feel good, you know. And man, I don't want to get my buddy's computer ready. I can tell you right now how I'm going to clean it. You got it. I'm going to do a system, not a system restore, but a, back to default from factory wipe, because I don't care. And if he says there's anything on the computer, I'll say, well, you told me to get rid of it all, so I got rid of it all. and then he told me, oh, yeah, and while you have my computer, go onto my Facebook and kill my account. I couldn't help. I had to just start laughing. I'm like, dude, you do that. Yeah, I can't figure it out. Oh, jeez. I don't even want your Facebook password, dude. I really don't want it.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna help them out.
It's like when people go in and when somebody will give you their computer and they look at you with this worried look on their face going, you're not gonna go looking at all my stuff, right? You're not gonna go rooting through all my pictures or looking at my documents. No. That's the last thing I want to do, because if I see something, now I have to report you, you know? Don't even worry about that. I have automated stuff that goes in, grabs all your stuff, puts it, you know, backs it up.
Yeah, exactly. Because you cannot see stuff, and I don't even tempt it.
Exactly.
You know, my documents, I'll just copy it all over and then copy it all back. Because I don't even want to know it's there.
That's what's great about FABs. You just point it to the right, to the drive, and it goes and grabs everything all by itself. You don't even have to see it.
Yeah, I'm going to slip into an ad with that one, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
I will say, that's the kind of thing. Tools like FABs exist, dare I say, ease your burden of knowledge, because we have these tested and tried tools that have been around that just do their job. You click a button, they do what they need to do, and then when it's done, voila, it worked. Thanks to Nick over at FoolishID.com, created D7. I will say, D7 is not a miracle tool. It's not, you know, the universal tool that will fix everything under the sun, but it does have potential that other tools just cannot match. And that is, you can customize it and you can get into the config and do some serious heavy tweaking into, you can make D7 do just about anything you can think of with scripts, with built-in functions. You can make D7 automatically run FABs and other tools just like it to help even automate your task even more. Gives you more time to work on refrigerators and washers and iDevices. Thanks to tools like D7, we're able to automate, relax, and get paid. That's the new tagline, and I gotta say, I believe it because I've seen it in action. Two of my friends who do IT work literally screen shared and showed me how the tool worked, how they had it configured, and how they were able to literally just click and watch it do its thing. They were able to do a lot of Windows fixes that they saw happen a lot, like Windows update fixing, clear the cache, clear the temp folds, reset this, clean out the system, restore points, start over kind of thing. And it just looked dare I say, too easy. I cannot encourage people enough. Go over to Foolish IT. Don't forget about the promo code PodNutsShow20. If you want to automate, relax, and get paid, I can safely say there's no better tool on the market to help you with such a task. Thanks again to Nick for his support. Yeah, all those tools that exist, I gotta say, if they didn't exist, I don't know if we could have time to be diversified as techs.
Oh, no. I mean, I use D7 myself, and that's one of the first things I pop into the machine when I get it on my bench is D7, because I have everything set up, like you said, the way that I like running it, and you just hit auto run, and it just does everything all by itself, and all you got to do is babysit it once in a while, and it
does. Yeah, somebody said it's like you have to watch the oven. You just every now and then tilt your head over, look at it. Is it doing good? Okay. And then go back. Or sometimes you need to click.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Like every 45 minutes, you got to hit okay or next.
Right. And see, you came up from the day where you could probably look in Windows 95, C:// Windows, and probably nearly identify all of those files. So when there was a infection, you could almost get rid of it manually.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything was so simple. And the registry was maybe the easiest thing to navigate in the world.
Wasn't very large back then.
Exactly. Well, in hindsight, it was tiny.
And
literally, you could make your job off of just knowing those basic things and manually cleaning everything. And it was quick. I mean, even back in Vista days, you look at that stuff and there's way too much stuff. That's when I started to believe we have to have faith in these tools. We have to do our best to weed out the bad tools, learn what tools are good, learn what they're good at, and use them appropriately. And the thing I love about D7 is it's a helper tool where no matter what you want to get done, it can help you get it done. It can also use other applications in its processes. That, to me, is like the golden trick, you know, making it work together. And yeah, Fab's auto backup. I had so much doubt the first couple times that I ran it, literally saying to myself, nah, this is too good. You know, if I pull data off of this Windows XP machine and I try to take it to a Windows XP 64-bit watch, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. If I cross operating systems, it ain't going to work. And everything I tried on that just worked. And I loved when it failed. It failed so gracefully. It just put everything in one folder that I could then go navigate and copy stuff out of.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's going to get much easier. And as time goes on, I think things are going to get a little more complicated as we go, and you're just going to have to build up your arsenal, I guess you could say, of your go-to tools. And D7 is definitely in the forefront of what I use.
Absolutely. I got to say, wow, when I first sat down and talked to you, I did not think we were going to end up talking about microwave ovens. It just goes to show I learn something new every day.
Don't be afraid to learn. I mean, that's the key. I mean, if like I said earlier, if you don't want to get left behind, don't be afraid to learn. They're not that difficult.
Right. And I will say, there are places out there, dare I say, like PodNuts, where you can go ask questions and people will help answer them and help you find your way to fix things. If the only resource we have is other people, I'm happy to say places like PodNuts, places like Nibble, websites like your friendly neighborhood computer guy, Tech Nibble, now has a podcast. Laffy, I want to say, also has a podcast called Pod Chip. These are all resources, and right now I think is a great time to find out information and have people to go to ask for these kind of helps. Because really, like you said, you really have to learn more. You have to keep moving forward. or else you're going to be that guy sitting on the park bench wearing the plaid, like, shorts with the black socks pulled up high, feeding the birds. You know, and it's so easy to keep up. As far as I'm concerned, it's almost fun keeping up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like learning new things, so it's always a treat when I get a challenge in front of me and I get to try something new.
Right. And I'll say, you're the perfect example of not just sitting there moping, saying to yourself, what, these tablets and things are getting too popular. They're going to kill the business. You know, people don't need to get these things cleaned with antiviruses, and they don't need printers configured for them. You can sit back and mope and complain about what you know is changing, or you can take it by the horns. And you're the perfect case of taking it by the horns and really doing a lot with these mobile devices and then expanding even more. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, you just... Like you said, I mean, you're going to get left behind if you don't try to keep up.
Very cool. Is there any websites or services that you want to promote?
Well, no. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably don't need my services. But if you want to check out my website, it's www.ftwce.com. And other than that, you'll see me as Reegs, R-E-E-G-S, on the Podnuts forums and TechNibble forums and all the chat rooms and whatnot.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, I will say, if you have friends or family in Georgia that need computers to be fixed, and you as a friend or family member don't have the time, don't forget, for the win.
That's right.
Definitely a good service. I cannot thank you enough for coming on, Chris.
I really appreciate you having me, and I've been a long-time listener, and I'm glad to finally be able to give back to the community.
Oh, dude, thank you very much. Anytime there's anything you want to come back on, talk about, or educate us on, please do not hesitate. It's definitely a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Okay, Chris, I thank you again for coming on, and I will talk to everybody next show.
Do you sit on your butt all day? Are you tired of watching the weight pile on? Are you sick of what you see in the mirror and just too busy to do anything about it? The 28 Workouts Fitness Program was created with you in mind. Shed the weight and get into the best shape of your life. Workouts are only 25 minutes per day, no more than 4 days per week. No gym needed, no equipment needed. Instant download. Go to www.28workouts.com today for more details. Your time is now. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.